Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome to a very special edition of TFL Talking Trucks podcast. I've got Zach behind the camera.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Zach. And we are in Las Vegas at the Convention Center at the ACT Expo 2024. And this is the ride and drive area of the show. You just saw a Kenworth fuel cell electric semi-truck that Kenworth is working with Toyota on just roll behind me. There's also a Cybertruck. You can see it right here. And in fact, there's dozens and dozens of manufacturers showcasing the latest commercial vehicles. This is actually a peek into the future because this is what the future of transportation may look like. You could hear some engine noise or no noise. For example, this eCascadia right
almost
here.
Almost completely silent.
Almost silent because I cannot hear even a whine of an electric motor.
It's being drowned out by the Peterbilt powered by natural gas.
Exactly, which is still a combustion engine, right? Making some noise, but actually using oftentimes renewable fuel, right? And also cleaner burning. You don't see plumes of black smoke exiting that particular truck. So that's a really good sign to see. So on this episode of TFL Talking Trucks, we're gonna show you what's here, what's being driven. We also have separate videos that you guys will be able to check out where we go inside a couple of these trucks. But this is a very limited opportunity just to go around the parking lot and experience some of these new vehicles. So we also have experienced Tesla Semi. You can see that model of it right there.
We have experienced the Cybertruck, but that would just be our own Cybertruck.
We're not going to be worried about the Cybertruck at this show. And also Shell Rotella Starship, which is on the other side, which we'll show you in a second. And there's a couple of different themes at this show. ACT Expo is where usually a lot of commercial vehicles get introduced for the very first time. And there's a couple of themes, different powertrains, right? We have battery electric powertrain like it's in that semi. There's only a battery and three electric motors, right? Up to about 500 miles of range in the semi. Then we have new companies, of course. So some established companies, also new companies like Battle Motors and also Windrose. That Windrose semi-truck, Zach, what does it look like?
Well, call me crazy, Andre, but if we look over here at a certain truck from a certain manufacturer,
yes.
Not naming any names, you can see it if you're watching the video. If you're not, it's the Tesla Semi.
Okay. And then we look at the Windrose. Look at that door actuation. It basically has a sliding door on the passenger side of the truck, but it has a similar cab to the Tesla Semi, a center driving position, right? So in a very similar shape. So it seems like other companies are looking at this space.
I just want to make it clear right off the bat here, just to do a little bit of CYA. We're not straight up alleging infringement there.
No, we're not alleging anything because we don't know much about Windrose, actually. It's a new company that I just discovered, here at the show. So anyways, so there's vehicles like that. Then another powertrain that's popular here is a fuel cell electric powertrain, basically using hydrogen as fuel to generate electricity for electric motors and then power the vehicle. There's also full battery electric vehicles like this Lion 5, which is basically a Class 5 vehicle, which means it's not quite as heavy. Here's another fuel cell that just went by with just the hum of a fan, right? Here's the thing about fuel cell vehicles, and we've experienced the Nikola truck, which is a new company, which is also here. I've experienced the Kenworth Toyota system. They're very well-designed systems, but they generate heat, and so all of them need cooling. And also for the batteries, you need to have a controlled system for the batteries, so the batteries remain at a constant temperature. And that's how you get reliability and also consistent range driving in different climate conditions.
Hey, podcast listeners and TFL Talk viewers. I wanted to take a minute to talk to you about a quick and simple way to sell your car or truck with the help of our new partner, HiRoad. With HiRoad's online portal, you enter your vehicle's VIN number or plate, mileage, and zip code, and you'll get competing offers from several qualified dealers in your area within seconds. You pick the best deal offered and follow through with the dealer to sell your vehicle. No more managing scammy emails from buyers on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. No more time wasted on no-show buyers. No bait and switch with a "will you take a check" excuse from sketchy buyers. Now keep in mind, these offers will be for trade-in values of your vehicle. If you want to go through the hassle of getting more for your vehicle, that's up to you. But if you want to sell your vehicle hassle-free and fast, go to tfltruck.com and click Sell Your Truck in the navigation menu. Or click on the HiRoad ad at the bottom of the website if you're on mobile, or click on the column if you're on a desktop. HiRoad makes it easy, and we like easy.
There's also vans. Many vans here, little delivery vans, big delivery vans. Like there's a workhorse van right there, this large step-in van right there that you might see like delivering packages for FedEx, or I'm not saying FedEx bottom, but it's that, you know, size of vehicle. Also little vans like this Mullen commercial vehicle, and also medium-sized vans. I'm quite excited because they also hear, oh, it's coming around. They have a Ram Electric ProMaster or e-ProMaster van from Ram. Ram has promised it, they first announced it several years ago. Then they announced it, a few months ago. And finally, it's going on sale this year. So I want to see exactly how it competes because Ford's selling a lot of Ford e-Transits. And of course, there's the Rivian van for delivery that Amazon is using. By the way, Rivian is here too. There's a Rivian pickup truck here running around. And I mean, you could order a Rivian for your fleet as well.
Just so this, real quick, here's a shot of the Nikola Andre was talking about earlier.
Yep. Hi, honk honk. You know, they still have real horns.
And they're also honking for safety with people walking by. I don't think she did that on cue, but it would be really fun if she did.
Yeah, I don't think she was looking at us. There's a lady driving the Nikola truck. The other theme is autonomy, right? So we'll show you a little bit of that inside the West Hall here at the Convention Center, and we explore some of those topics. A lot of these topics are very controversial, right? Electrification, like you can see another Class 5 vehicle rolling by, basically a box truck. This one is related to the Daimler truck brand, Ryzen. There's BYD.
Build your dreams. Yeah, and they built a school bus.
Yeah, they built a nice looking school. Well, actually, it's kind of an odd looking school bus.
From the front, it is a little bizarre. I'm not going to lie.
But BYD is a huge company, right? I mean, they've sold millions of vehicles worldwide. They're not on sale here in the US, but they're here at the show and they're showing what's possible. Here's another kind of a chassis without a body driving around. It's very unique because each wheel is a motor. I mean, there's a motor integrated into the suspension of each wheel, so you can kind of swap it out, and it's also four-wheel steering, and looks very interesting. There's a Mack dump truck that's also silent. It's like, what is going on here? I mean, everything is silent here.
It's like we're in the future, dude. We're pretty close.
There's another Kenworth.
Because honestly, Andre, like it wasn't that long ago. Like if you went to a commercial vehicle expo where you're looking at this wide range of vehicles. It's just rattle and clatter of loud diesel engines all day long.
Yeah,
and this is not the case here. Speaking of which, Hyundai's fuel cell Exient truck.
Yeah, and actually this truck has been at several shows over the years, many years and kind of rolling. But I don't believe they're on sale quite yet. I think they're still, you know, testing and exploring possibilities. And it kind of looks similar to Nikola in its design because it's got a cab over structure, a little bit more European flair. But the other trucks are really normal looking, right? I mean, they're basically standard current trucks that are being repowered by another powertrain.
Yeah, a good case in point is there was one running around. I don't see it at the moment, but the Freightliner eCascadia.
That looks almost identical to the diesel one.
Right, exactly.
So here's another couple things, right? We talked about, well, we haven't quite talked about natural gas yet, right? But that's also here. Because the downside of electric, not a fuel cell. Let's talk about fuel cell first. Couple downsides. First is complexity and cost of the vehicle itself, right? What do I mean by complexity? Well, first of all, you have a fuel cell, which is not very cheap to buy right now, right? Some of these trucks have multiple fuel cells. So they have several fuel cells generating electricity for the motors and the batteries, but you need to stack them, right? You need to add more and more and more power in order to move some of these big vehicles. So that's a little bit expensive. Then you have electric motor, then you have batteries. The Toyota system that they're working on with Kenworth also has a transmission, Zach. So a four-speed automatic transmission, basically. So in my mind, there's a lot of complexity. I mean, I know that it's well-integrated system, but still quite complex. And then there is a lack of hydrogen infrastructure, right? That's another big problem, currently speaking, in 2024. But looking, that's why we said it's a glimpse into the future. You know, this is, many companies are working on this. Honda is here introducing their new fuel cell vehicle as well. So hopefully in the future, there's going to be more infrastructure for hydrogen and other natural gas fuels, for example. Let's keep moving. There's a couple more things here. For example, Volvo wheel loader, a construction vehicle that's also electric.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
So, companies like Volvo, I believe Caterpillar, John Deere, they're also thinking about ways of electrifying their construction equipment, which is kind of nice, right, Zach? I mean, you don't hear that diesel engine constantly working on a street or at your project site, and it's not spewing emissions, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, if we're talking about cleaning up emissions with electric vehicles like that Ram Pro Master EV,
yep,
it's not just a consumer vehicle outlook we need to have, right? We need to look at, you know, last mile delivery vans like that ProMaster and construction vehicles like that Volvo loader and any of these class 8 trucks. Like, it really needs to be kind of a top down approach, especially with bigger vehicles that spout out more emissions.
And also, I just looked up a stat, right?
Yeah.
73% of all goods in the US are delivered by truck or a semi-truck on the road. That's a huge percentage of our economy, right? Actually moving goods and produce and all kinds of things. And that's a huge thing, right? If we could improve some of it, right, we could have a big benefit for emissions and maybe not cost initially, like I'm saying, because cost initially could be high, but I think there's a growing benefit over the years that's building up.
Yeah.
We're moving a little bit here towards a natural gas truck that we can talk about as well. And there's also stuff like mobile power stations, right? There's a trailer in the parking lot that's set up as a charger. That particular one is e-Boost, right? So there's also portable charging stations because all of these vehicles need juice eventually. We're here on the third day of the show, or second and a half day of the show, and these vehicles have been running constantly almost for 3 days. So eventually these vehicles will start needing a little bit of energy to recharge. Now let's talk about a good thing about hydrogen, Zach, is easy, quick refueling, right?
Okay.
Toyota showed me this. They're working on a high flow system for hydrogen. You plug in a semi truck, it takes about 60 kilograms of hydrogen, which is around 60 gallons of diesel per se, and you can refuel it in about 5 to 10 minutes. Bam.
Which sounds a heck of a lot better than sitting there and plugging it in for at least 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And we're talking about massive trucks with massive batteries here. So if there's not infrastructure to support that level of charging like Tesla's trying to do with the semi, then you're going to be there for a long time. And time is money, especially in this world.
Yeah. For example, like this eCascadia we're looking at, the Freightliner, all this one is happens to be a battery electric one. Like you said, you gotta charge for a long time. And also, those high-speed chargers are also not very existent right now.
Yeah,
right?
The infrastructure isn't quite there to support this on a large scale, nationwide scale, with the level of freight that we have just in North America, let alone everywhere else.
Exactly. So let's keep, there's a little bit of traffic here. There's also an international truck right there, an EM or EM2. And we have a full video actually, drag racing, an electric international versus a diesel powered international. So you can check out oldtfl.com for several more videos, or actually tfltruck.com if you want to go back in time and search some of our archives. We've been around for, 13 years now almost.
Yeah.
So we've built up a lot of reviews over the years. We don't do a lot of semi-trucks on our channels. We usually do, pickup trucks and also dualies, right? Class 3 vehicles, sometimes class 4. But I do have a CDL, so we can actually transition and test a few more vehicles. Here's another shot of the Hyundai Accent. It's leaving for another little loop. Once again, super silent.
Yeah, it's like not necessarily what can you hear, but what can you generally not hear? Obviously, there's still some noise because we're getting over to the natural gas powered truck.
Well, yeah, here's a natural gas powered one. CNG, you can see it's labeled right there. I was talking to Brian, who is driving the Shell Rotella CNG truck. And he was saying that refueling itself is kind of easy with natural gas. But once again, infrastructure, how many stations can you find along the way? And how many stations can you put a big truck with a trailer through, right? So access to fueling stations, access to natural gas, all that stuff, it's still being worked on.
Yeah, for the moment, I mean, if that infrastructure really exists, it's more done by the carriers and the operators, right? Who invest that kind of money so they can have CNG fueling stations just at their yards.
Yes.
As opposed to just being able to pull up to a truck stop and fill up with CNG.
And then Shell Rotella, that's a concept truck, right? They call it Starship. This is 3.0, so the third generation of it. It's using a Cummins powertrain. It's the X15N, basically a 15-liter engine that's able to run on natural gas. So Cummins is doing many things, right? They have an electric division. They have diesel-powered engines, they have natural gas-powered engines. Now they're also working on gasoline, right? Powered Cummins engines. So they're working on different types of fuels to figure this out. And also CNG can be renewable, right? There's different ways of finding natural gas. And I was talking to Toyota engineers about this. And one way to do it is actually, the renewable part of it is actually using food waste to generate gas that you can then use as a fuel. So that's also very, very interesting and actually sustainable. It's just that how can you, you know, productionalize it for a big, you know, for the entire country, basically. You could hear that natural gas truck leaving as well. So I think we're almost done here with the exterior, with the outside lot. But I wanted to mention one huge benefit for electric vehicles or electrified trucks is you're gaining energy when you slow down, right? So that's a big deal. We live in Colorado, we have mountains. When you're going downhill in a diesel-powered vehicle right now, you're using your exhaust brake and you're using friction brakes. And you're not gaining any energy from it. All these electric motors based on these semi-trucks and also other vans, you can recoup a lot of that energy. Not all of it, of course, but a good percentage of it on the way down because you're heavy. These semi-trucks are designed to carry up to 82,000 pounds combined weight. So, as it gets windy here, sorry about that, guys. So, I think it's time for us to go inside and show you a lot more cool stuff. Let's go, Zach. All right, guys, we're now inside the show, and I'm actually sitting inside the new Rivian electric delivery van. This is the van that currently Amazon has been using, and I believe in the Amazon fleet, there are about, 13,000 plus vans already in use. So they're on their way to about 100,000 vans by 2030. But Rivian is going to be selling these vans for other customers, which is why this van is in white. But Zach, do you want to come around and join me?
Sure thing.
So it's actually quite roomy in here. I am just about 6'3". I'm standing full height inside the van. Come inside, dude. There's a little bit of information here. And of course, Rivian is not the only manufacturer of electric delivery vans. Just across the way here, there's Ford Pro with their e-Transit. But I think Rivian has a lot of competitive numbers. So they have two versions, the 500 and the 700 vans. And those are basically cubic feet. So approximation of the volume inside the van. So kind of a shorter wheelbase and also a longer wheelbase versions. And ranges between, for the long wheelbase, the larger one, 153 miles or 161 miles for the shorter one. It just depends on the vehicle weight. So actually that's not bad. I mean, 150 to 160 miles, it seems to be working for Amazon for daily deliveries. So I'm sure that use case has been already proven. But I don't have a lot of experience with these as far as reliability, how they drive. So there's still a lot to learn, but lots of space. There's garage style door, this kind of roll up door in the back. So let me put my backpack on and we can continue to walk around. What do you say, Zach?
Sure thing.
Show them a little bit of the driving area here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty neat, dude. I mean, these controls and the steering wheel remind me of just R1T truck, right? Or R1S.
So in form, a lot of it is pretty similar, including you get the gauge cluster right in front of the driver, all digital, of course, and then you get a central infotainment display. Now, is it going to be as fancy as an R1T or an R1S? No, of course not. This is a commercial vehicle.
But look how much space. I have my gear backpack, and I can put it inside of this footwell area on the passenger side. There's a little drop seat here if you have a passenger on the passenger side, large screens, everything like that. So let's get out and keep on moving because there's a lot to see. Here's the door. Actually, let's show the door.
So just, please do.
It's really a sliding situation. So really nice and smooth, pretty nice. All right. So a lot of manufacturers you will see on the show floor, you already know. Some manufacturers you may not know. You know Rivian, you know Ford. So on this section, on this side.
Yeah, speaking of which, I'll pivot back over there real quick.
Sorry about that. Yeah, there's
so
Ford right there.
About Ford, there's Ford Pro right there with the Transit, e-Transit.
All right, let's keep moving. So remember, Zach, we were outside and we talked about that vehicle with four corner steering, right? Four wheel steering.
Yeah.
And unique, each corner being its own motor suspension system. Well, there's a little closer view of it here. And apparently Penske purchased several of these chassis, or maybe several hundred of these chassis. So that's quite interesting.
And they've got it set up in such a way where you can kind of see it, at least stage kind of an action there.
Yes.
So and particularly then, when we're talking about these, you know, last mile delivery applications, maneuverability, especially in an urban environment, hugely important.
Yeah. And here's a close up view of
this
chassis. So there's basically a chassis view of it. You can kind of see this independent suspension. It's got drive shaft going to it, steering. And actually, Zach, on the back of this chassis here,
you can see
like individual motors, right? So there's a motor here on the passenger side, and there's a motor here on the driver's side as well. And yeah, so this is kind of another way of doing things. And the entire skateboard structure is really busy with wires and batteries and other components.
You can get a better look at the rear suspension here too.
Yeah, lots of steering in.
Exactly.
Ooh, double coilovers, dude.
Yeah. It's actually a fair bit going on back here.
Yeah, so that's cool. There's also Bollinger right there with their B4 Class 4 chassis. They're also here. You can also ride and drive them. So let's keep moving as there's another presentation starting up. So we talked a lot about pros and cons, right?
Yeah.
So, and there's a lot of booths here kind of addressing some of those issues we already discussed as far as charging infrastructure. There's charge point right here because you need high flow charging, right, for some of these big vehicles. You can see a pretty beefy system here. 1.2 megawatt capable, Zach. Holy smokes.
That is a cut above where we're at right now. Once we get to that point, when it comes to where you can actually charge EVs at significant rates like that, and especially in commercial applications like we were talking about outside, then that could be a game changer for a lot of fleet operators.
Now we're entering the kind of Paccar area, right? There's Peterbilt and there is Kenworth. Dude, Kenworth is showing something special. I think we need to check it out.
It's next level, let's put it that way.
Yeah, and actually I'm excited by this because a lot of the commercial space, you know, people get excited by like 0.7% improvement here,
yeah,
a new headlamp there. There is not a lot of visual pizzazz, but this Super Truck 2 or 2.0, it's something else. So let's take a closer look. It's basically a concept vehicle, which is totally futuristic looking. Maybe you can poke the camera inside, Zach.
Absolutely.
Just for a second.
So they do have a cork cuff, so they don't want people just jumping in and out of it.
Yeah, it's kind of a concept. It's got red accent lighting. It looks very sinister. It's got cameras for side mirrors. Could have a sleeper cab. So, and this also, let's walk this way as well.
This is kind of a quick shot of the stats.
Yeah. First of all, aerodynamics is a big thing, right?
Yeah.
But also they're talking about kind of diesel or gasoline hybrid systems, right? So they're talking about 48 volt system, which I actually test drove in some of the products that ZF produces, which is like electrically assisted steering. That also can enable autonomous driving, right? Because the computer can actually control the large steering components. Oh, and they have a Kenworth history board here.
Yeah, the thing is about Kenworth particularly, like when you look at this truck, it's just so different from anything Kenworth produced over the years. So if you're watching this at least, you know, over the last 100 years.
But look, Kenworth, look at this, look at this particular kind of bus looking thing. So yeah, I mean, They have a lot of cab
holders. I wanted to point out, yeah, and you can see, especially higher up, and they have a few other examples here, like the W900, which is still in production today. It's been in production for over 60 years.
It's almost like my Buhanka van, right?
Yeah. Kenworth tried to update it with a slightly like more aerodynamic version. I think it's called the W990. And
people have balked at it, right?
Yeah.
So people might be hating this too. I mean, it's certainly different. I'm psyched by it. Let's look at it from the other side.
Yeah. It's definitely more impressive, visually impressive from the front.
No, because I mean, it is futuristic looking. Maybe it is not completely practical, right? Because the front steering axles are covered completely. But
one other question I had, Andre, while we're here, and actually, if you get a much better look at this from the front. Now, obviously, as far as presence goes, hello.
Huge. Maybe Darth Vader comes to mind.
Is that front end? Is this the truck that Darth Vader would drive, or I guess I should say pilot?
Yes. So very sinister looking.
But one thing I want to point out, and again, I know this only comes through visually. Sorry for those who are listening, but what we're looking at here is just this lower valence for the sake of making so much better aerodynamic efficiency.
There's almost
no clearance at all.
Maybe half an inch, but it could have air suspension too. So it could come up a little bit, right?
I would imagine in a practical application where this actually to cover production.
But I can see this headlamp kind of has a little bit of Kenworth flair to it.
Yeah.
But it's just exaggerated. I'm loving this.
Yeah, we see. So just to juxtapose that a little bit, if we look at a T680 over here, it definitely not as dramatic. I'll grant Andre that just here. But you see that carry through at least a little bit.
Yeah.
And that.
So there's some family resemblance
exactly,
a little bit.
Yeah.
And that giant grill is still there. It's needed for cooling, right? So potentially it could have a CNG power plant underneath or something else. Really cool.
And that's another important distinction here. I mean, I know we were talking about it outside. We'll get into it more as we walk through. You know, with the advanced technologies on display at this expo, it's not all about electric. It's not all about hydrogen fuel cell. We're also in that transition phase where we're talking about improvements for internal combustion's sake as well. So be it extreme aerodynamic efficiency.
And we'll see some of that in the Volvo booth as well.
Right.
Yeah.
And just smarter, more efficient powertrains to begin with will also make a difference as we sort of make this transition toward EVs.
But can I say something, Zach?
Yeah.
Holy axles, Batman.
I mean, just so you guys know, he's been dying before we started filming this part to say that.
No, because we're looking at these like e-axles, and they're chrome. They got chrome. This is a show display. They have chrome components. They have giant differentials. They have giant electric motors, and it's painted in blue. Oh my goodness! This is Dana Spicer 08 e-axle. Holy mother! These are axles.
They are mothers of axles.
Mothers of axles. So basically, this is showing putting the motor as close to the axle as possible, right? Because you could do it multiple ways. You could have an electric motor that's separate, and look at the power capacity. Some of these are between 430 kilowatts to 530 kilowatts. You multiply it by what? About 1.3, 1.4. You're talking about what? 600 or 700 horsepower just in one axle. So you can have a lot of power going down, like extreme duty trucks, right? Logging trucks, moving a lot of weight with this type of system. There's Mac. Hey, look, there's the dog.
The bulldog.
There's a bulldog. Zach, what do you think? Should this be our featured image for this video or for this podcast? Could be.
I'm not sure. No. I kind of dig it.
Well, if we were reviewed dogs, then it would be.
Yeah.
But we don't. You're there. Here's another orientation. Zach, can we show this?
Yeah.
There's another Dana Spicer. This is a 06.
So this one's not quite as extreme.
No, but it's showing a different orientation. You see how the motor is separated from the axle by a drive shaft. And that's also a really, really valid use case. Because, you know, some existing chassis, this may be better for an existing chassis conversion, for example.
So again, we're talking about, you know, not necessarily rewriting the rule book, redesigning, you know, all these trucks from the ground up. In some cases, some automakers are doing that, but it's also about a case of, you know, modifying, retrofitting trucks that are already on the road or in service.
Yeah, exactly. Or making a conversion, right?
Right.
Of some sort. By the way, Zach, a lot of people sent us questions about Edison Motors. Hmm. They're a Canadian company that are doing... I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks. A lot of actually friends and fans here as well at this show. Thank you for coming by and saying hello. By the way, Patreon supporters, thank you as well. Patreon.com/TFLcar is our only Patreon page. Thank you very much. We had recently several people support us there about this. And I totally lost my train of thought, Zach.
They're talking about Edison Motors.
Edison Motors. They're not here. I looked at the vendor list.
Yeah, and the side map before we came in.
Yeah, they're not here. So what they're doing is range extended. For example, having a diesel engine producing electricity for electric motors, doing some sort of range extension, but they're not here, so I can't really interview them right now. So that's still to come some other time. We should look at some internal combustion stuff.
Absolutely.
Because Volvo has some stuff they're working on. And Volvo is a huge player in this market. I mean, we talked about Paccar and some other manufacturers, but Volvo is huge. Look at the size of this booth, Zach. This is tremendous. They have their commercial construction equipment and also their tractors or their semi-trucks on this side. And where was this?
So we're looking at here is Volvo just recently debuted their all-new VNL, their over-the-road truck.
Yeah, but they're also introducing their autonomous version
of
it.
Yeah, which you can look at here.
And this is another Vader truck. It's all blacked out. It's all dark. It's got dark blacked out Alcoa aluminum wheels. And it's using an Aurora. Here's the wheels. It's using an Aurora system for autonomous driving. So you will see sensors like this throughout the truck. These are LiDAR sensors, basically laser radar, right? And they're scanning on the side of the truck.
And there's more on the roof and back out a little bit here.
And also camera systems you could see above the windscreen. So Aurora is kind of a standalone company that's been working on technologies for autonomous driving for actually a number of years. And they're getting closer and closer to, you know, to have the confidence to have a system like this actually on public roads. And they're working with many manufacturers, not just Volvo, to introduce this system. And by the way, you can see in this front grille, also another LiDAR sensor right here in the front. And by the way, this Volvo Autonomous Solutions truck is another example of a different industry that's kind of developing, or sub-industry, basically transport as a service, where you actually don't buy a truck or you don't buy a fleet of trucks, but you're buying capacity. And you're saying, I need to move this much cargo from here to here, and operators like Volvo, maybe others, can actually support it using autonomous or semi-autonomous type of system. So slightly different subsection of the industry also being shown here. Let's keep moving. There's also Nissan here. That's kind of cool to see. They have the new Leaf and the Ariya, kind of showing what some of their fleet solutions can be like using passenger vehicles, basically. There is ZF on that side. Actually, we'll have a deep dive into ZF in June. Case and I are actually going to Europe, and we're going to explore some of the what they're doing, what new technologies they're developing and new products they're developing. So stay tuned for that coming up soon. You can see it right there. Let's keep moving a little bit, because Zach, we can also show, there's another Tesla semi truck in here, and we can actually show you guys inside the truck sitting in a driver position.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. All right, let's keep moving. There's another Penske booth. And here, there's not a competitor to the Rivian van. It's the BrightDrop van. let me get in here. Actually, do you want to just show the driving position here inside?
Yeah, and as Andre pointed out to me when we came by earlier, if you look inside and get in the driver's seat, you might notice some switchgear that's pretty familiar.
It looks like a Silverado EV or a Hummer EV to me. Obviously, it's a BrightDrop as a GM thing, partner, right? Or a GM sub company. And they're using some of the know-how that they have from their Ultium vehicles, and they're building a delivery van, which has some of the very similar specs. Let's walk this way.
Yeah.
Some of the similar volume specs and also range specs as the Rivian van. By the way, the Rivian van, if you're just small business wondering about cost, a Rivian van, like we saw, the 500 or 700, they start around like $81,000 before tax incentives. So I don't know exactly how much a BrightDrop van like this would start at, but they started with FedEx. FedEx was one of the first customers, and now also Penske. So basically like a rental van or a delivery van service, they're now using some of these vans as well. Yeah, I know, 80,000 sounds like a lot of money, right? It is a lot of money. But hopefully you can get some incentives on top of it, and also you're saving on fuel costs.
Yeah, your general operating costs are going to be a lot lower, at least on paper.
Well, because that's what fleet managers worry about all the time, right?
It's
total cost of ownership, operating cost. There's a Cummins booth, dude, and it looks amazing coming up here. Let's take a look. Let's take a look at some of the... So we already mentioned it outside, how Cummins is working on CNG, gasoline, diesel, right? All of these technologies. So here they're showing some of that. And Zach, I think what's cool is it's all based on the X15, right? Basically, their 15-liter system. And so what you can see, like the engine block in red, everything kind of below this deck level can stay about the same. And then the head and the fuel system on top of it is different. So you could have, you know, natural gas. You can even have hydrogen burning, right?
And that's what they're showing here, exactly with the X15H.
Yeah, X15H is their actually... not using hydrogen for producing electricity, but using it as a combustion fuel to actually making power and moving down the road. They also have axles, and they also have electric motors on display here.
This as far as just to wrap up Cummins, we'll come around here. Paul, check out tandem axle here.
Yeah, and that's basically mechanical axles. They're HE drive axles. Dude, these are super beefy components. Look at the shoes on the brakes. Gigantic.
Yeah.
This is Accelera, but they're a Cummins company. So Accelera by Cummins. Showing some of the electrified solutions. Basically electric motor e-axles. This is their 14XE e-axle. And then there's also electric motors, just standalone electric motors. And you could see it, you know, the electronics and inverters, kind of everything in one. Let's take a quick look here. Up to 550 kilowatts. So once again, this is a lot of power, like 700 or sometimes more horsepower per motor.
And peak torque of 5,000 newton meters.
I don't want to convert that, but that's a lot. Also, you can see it supports up to 800 volt systems. So that's really nice to see. Like the Tesla Semi, they have a 1,000 volt system. And that allows you to charge faster, has a little bit more efficient charging system. So you're not producing so much heat, and it's just a little bit better. Oh, here's another interesting thing. This is Hexagon Purus, I think. I'm not quite sure how to say this, but it's showing some of the components, like this battery box here on stage. It looks like a kind of a U, so it kind of comes up on each side. And in the middle here, this is where the frame would be of a semi truck. So it kind of shows some of the battery enclosures and the battery components to support electrifying semi trucks. The ones we saw outside as well. That's pretty neat. All right, let's keep moving a little bit further. There's another fuel cell by Accelera. Let's take a look at this. So a lot of the time, you will see, like I was mentioning, you could see a stacked system. So you can kind of see, if you cut it horizontally in half here, some of the components are repeating, right? So actually, you can actually stack multiple fuel cells on top of each other in order to produce additional electricity. And they're also rated in kilowatts. So this might be, I don't know, 80 kilowatt potential, another 80 kilowatt, and you can add them together to get more power. Let's walk around this area because Hyundai is doing something here with the Exient. Let's move a little bit this way. There's also Honda on this side, Zach. So I want to check out Honda. And also there's BYD has a big area. Actually, let's kind of sneak by BYD.
You want to build our dreams before we go to Honda?
Yeah, build your dreams. I really was hoping they would have their plug-in pickup truck here, but they don't.
Which is unfortunate.
You know, it's made the big news, right, recently. We covered it on our website, tfltruck.com.
Have a shark.
The shark. Where's the shark?
There is no shark here.
Well, there's plenty of sharks in Vegas, Zach. It's just different kinds.
BYD didn't bring that.
Different kinds. Here's just another chassis. This is really a trend, right, Zach? I mean,
yeah.
We were talking to a different company as well. There are a lot of manufacturers that want to supply, they want to supply chassis, not vehicles, but actual chassis. And then whoever is the bodybuilder on top of this chassis can do whatever you want. So this chassis could be used as a school bus, could be a motorhome, or something else. This happens to be a BYD chassis. This is a Chinese company. They've been around since 1995, so they've actually been around for quite some time. And this is their school bus. There's a few images there. But Zach, I want to show this really quick.
Sure.
Can you show this electric motor?
Yeah.
So this is how it looks like in the chassis, connected via the drive shaft to the axle. So just a very simple orientation. You still have air brakes. You still have a leaf spring rear axle. So there's not, you're not reinventing everything. You're just kind of converting it to electricity, basically. All right, Honda and then Tesla. There's Nikola. We did a full first drive of Nikola. So we're not going to spend a lot of time there. You could check out our site, tfltruck.com, to see a lot of Nikola coverage. One thing to note on the Nikola truck is that how big the radiator is. Can you see that, Zach?
Yeah, I'll get up closer to it as well.
That's what I'm talking about. Hydrogen fuel cells create heat. That's a byproduct. So here I am, I'm 6'3". I'm standing next to this radiator, and the radiator is about, I don't know, maybe 3.5 feet, maybe 4. So it's like 4 feet by 4 feet. So yeah, you do need some cooling also for some of these systems. Honda is this way. So what do you think? This is my first time at an ACT Expo. It's for you as well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, mine as well. And I'll admit, like right off the top, and this is why I'm not talking too much, is my general knowledge stops at, you know, maybe like heavy duty pickups, and then Andre's the guru for that. I'm mainly a car guy, so this is a little out of my element. So you guys are discovering this industry right along with me. I mean, I have some tangential knowledge, but definitely you know, not the sort of expertise that, you know, covers.
But
this
wasn't your father in trucking?
Which is why I know a little bit about Kenworth and Peterbilt and whatnot. Yeah.
But also, Zach, you're in luck because there is a CRV.
It's a little bit more my speed, as it were. Just I'm a little bit more familiar. So what we're looking at here is the recently revealed Honda CRV fuel cell. Now, this is not Honda's first foray into hydrogen-powered vehicles by any stretch. They've been in the game for decades, you know, stretching back to the first FCX in the 2000s. And we've had, you know, different iterations of hydrogen fuel cell technology, and their latest effort, at least in the car space, is to integrate it into what we know as, you know, the current generation CRV. So these are not on sale nationwide. They're at least only,
aren't they,
you know, available in California, correct? So again, not widespread technology, as it were, but yeah, I mean, Andre is just opening the door here, and if you look inside this,
it looks normal.
Yeah, it just looks like your standard CRV.
Yeah. So I think this is kind of interesting, and when I learned about the hydrogen fuel cell CRV at first, I was a little surprised because it does have two ports for
so
fueling.
So they have ones for hydrogen. It's that looks locked at the moment, unfortunately. But
and there's also a plug to plug in the electricity.
Correct. Because there is a 17.7 kilowatt hour, I believe, battery on board. So it's a plug-in hybrid vehicle.
Except
it's just hydrogen fuel cell is what's powering it. It's not a gas engine.
Yes.
And I think what we can do, so yeah, this particular model is the ESCEV.
But you can see rear seat is normal. I mean, you're not losing space.
You get inside, and it's a completely normal experience.
Yeah.
But that also translates, and I'll let you kind of take over here, Andre, to...
To that.
Yeah, commercial vehicles, so...
So this is... So Honda is showing some of their technology here as well. So they have a joint venture with General Motors. And General Motors has been in fuel cell, hydrogen fuel cell science and business for many decades as well, themselves. And they're introducing their hydrogen fuel cell system here at the show. You can see some of the innards inside of it. So once again, we're looking behind the semi-truck's cab. And usually here is where the hydrogen tanks are located, right? You can't quite see inside of this
cab there.
Inside of this side. But this is usually where your fuel stacks are. Down here between the frame rails, this could be the battery, right? Remember I showed that battery enclosure? So the batteries are going to be somewhere here.
I've seen your shows.
Oh, thank you for watching.
I see it all the time.
Do you know?
The Tacoma show.
Do you know, is this your truck?
So I'm actually with the autonomous vehicle right
now. Oh, this?
Yeah.
Tell me about this a little bit.
So
hold on, let me point the mic at you. What's your name?
My name is Eric.
Eric, nice to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you, yeah.
Tell me about this little autonomous vehicle.
So it was developed for the construction industry, you know, to help move material, you know, in large job sites.
Okay.
So that's the initial concept. It's something that you can program, and then it deliver material from A to B, C, or come back to A again. So
basically, it's kind of like, looks like a skateboard. There's a little, like a cargo area, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you can put whatever cargo you want.
So this one, you can actually put two pallets side by side, low capacity.
How much weight?
So you can put up to 2,000 pounds.
That's a considerable amount of weight.
Yeah, it is.
And it's all electric, I'm assuming.
It is fully electric, fully autonomous as well. You can drive it with a remote control, you know, like a PlayStation, like a video game type.
Okay.
Indoors, mainly designed for outdoors.
I got you. Yeah. It's got like actual grippy tires, so it's not like designed for like a factory floor. I mean, it's
so
as of right to be outside.
As of right now, the application is to be outdoor, right? And if in the future there's a possibility it can be used indoor,
or in the warehouse or something.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That, right?
Yeah, that is true.
That's very cool. Thank you for saying hello.
Cool. Yeah, I recognize you.
Okay.
From the videos.
Appreciate it.
Right.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks
thank
a lot.
Yep.
See, we learned about the autonomous vehicle just in the process, so that's really amazing. I was just saying that Honda has a slightly different take at the hydrogen fuel cell. And Zach, the difference is in the axles, right?
Yep.
So if you look at, for example, the Toyota system, they have an electric motor that's actually underneath the cab, and it has a drive shaft pointing towards the axles like it normally would. The Honda system uses electric motors with each axle. So they decided to go this way. There's two of them at least here, one on the front rear axle, and then the tag axle is also powered in the back. So they chose to go this way. And I was talking to a Honda representative here as well, and they said up to 86 kilograms of hydrogen is capacity here, which is a lot of capacity, actually. You can think of a kilogram of hydrogen equivalent to about a gallon of gasoline. And the system is a little bit more efficient than a gasoline combustion engine.
Yeah, so the Honda representative said 400 miles of targeted range with this specific layout.
And that's loaded with a trailer.
Yeah.
So when you hear range for a semi-truck.
Yeah, not bobtail like this. Yes. We're talking about actually
actual
in service
load.
With
yes.
significant amount of cargo, yeah.
Yeah, so, and once again, they're capable of up to 82,000 pounds combined. So the tractor and the trailer together. So this is kind of Honda's solution. You can kind of see it here, right there on the cab. And, but there's more to it than this, right? You have to integrate the system. It's not as easy as adding an electric motor, adding some fuel cells, and then batteries and stuff. It has to be all working together, because when the driver steps into this vehicle, it needs to be just as smooth, just as easy to drive and operate and safe as just any other truck. So the devil is in the detail, as they say. So should we keep moving a little bit?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, and by the way, Honda representative told us that they're going to be working with many manufacturers, right? So the whole idea is they can provide their kit.
Yeah, and to pivot back to that truck one more time. So specifically, Honda's fuel cell solution is fit onto a Peterbilt truck. But that's not necessarily saying it's only going to be in Peterbilt trucks. Some folks we were chatting with before we came inside, when we were in the ride and drive area, said, oh, well, Honda said they're going to build their own Class 8 truck as well.
They told us here.
Yeah, they said at the moment, at least, that is not the case. So they're mainly doing this to show that this solution can be integrated for a variety of OEMs across this industry.
By the way, do you see those large, what looks like air intakes at the top of the cab of that semi-truck? Hydrogen fuel cells need air. That's
as
how
we
they get the
discussing
oxygen.
Discussing over at Nikola.
Yeah,
well,
not just for cooling
but, yeah.
but also to ingest and also create electricity. So it does need air. It's kind of funny how everything, combustion needs air, fuel cells need air, we all need air. Okay, let's keep moving a little bit further here. There's an Exient truck with its open cab, so we can check that out before Tesla, and then we can wrap up, right?
Yeah.
All right. So here's a look at, I believe this is the Hyundai hydrogen fuel cell. And there's a little bit of specs here, Zach. So a single unit could be capable of about 85 kilowatts. By the way, this is not directly going to the motor. You could put that into the battery, right? And then the battery can also power the electric motor. So if you're looking at this spec saying that's not enough, well, just think about it as range extending, right? You're actually putting that energy into the battery and then creating motion. But I want to look underneath, because I haven't really seen underneath an Exient.
Well, they happen to have, obviously, the cab tilted forward here, so we can get a good look.
And here's a look at the hydrogen tanks. So, Zach, what do you think of when you think about hydrogen gas? I mean, a lot of people would say
volatile.
It's the most common element in the universe. It also combines with everything.
Okay, that's another way to look at it.
So it's also volatile. So a lot of people are concerned with that.
Yeah.
But I've talked to Hyundai, Nikola, Toyota, Honda, everybody, and the way these tanks are designed, they're basically bulletproof.
Yeah, they're designed to withstand extreme
impacts.
Amounts of pressure. Well, and just amounts
impacts,
of pressure,
yes. Because it's pressurized.
Yeah.
The system is pressurized.
Just by default.
And look at the structure here. I mean, the structure that houses these tanks is really beefy. Really beefy. And also, you can see all of the tanks connected. So there's kind of a single fuel system. And there's a rubber bladder, then there is plastic, then there's carbon fiber, then there's other materials. So these tanks are massive and they're very strong. So
interesting. You know, I mean,
yeah, and here's it looks like a transformer with a cab kind of forward like this, and all open. All right, so finally we might get inside. Let's jump inside the Tesla Semi just to close the video, because I think we deserve it after seeing the entire show.
Yeah, and the thing is, in this podcast, which I think is, you know, hovering around about an hour now, we still didn't cover everything that's here in Las Vegas right now.
Yeah, we kind of walked down Main Row. I mean, if you can look down this way, and there is like a lot
there's
of different companies.
There's more to each side.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on here. By the way, Zach, before we get inside, look, there's a Cybertruck with roof rails. We don't have roof rails on our truck. Let's take a look. We own a Cybertruck. We recently purchased one, and we're doing real-world testing with it. And this is quite interesting. So I was looking into it, and Zach, a Cybertruck has 8, 4 on each side, 4 on each side locations to mount a rack. Two of them are on the bed side here, and 2 of them are over the cab.
And in use.
And currently in use.
Cybertruck, yeah.
Yeah, so they currently have these lockable. They're showing their new accessories. And each one of them, I believe, according to Tesla, is capable of 100 pounds. So if you had 4 of them, then you would have 400 pounds of roof capacity, basically. So you could put, I don't know, storage, skis. You're not going to carry a lot of lumber up there.
But you could...
Yeah.
Add to, you know, whatever you store in the bed.
Yeah, it's just showing, I think there's a ramp down there. There's a little bit of a ramp. So the Tesla Semi is all battery. All battery. So, and actually there's a lot of empty space behind the cab, actually, in this model. But you could see, I believe, entire center section is taken by batteries. And also, there's another point here, Zach, because if the Semi itself gets heavier, let's say you put a lot of batteries into it like this, that means you can carry less payload. That's why the government regulators, right, increased 80,000 pound limit to 82,000 pounds. Basically, they gave electric semi-truck operators another 2,000 pounds of weight. But this could be a lot heavier than that. So you have to think about those things, how much weight you want to carry, et cetera, et cetera. Let's see if we could sneak in here just for a minute. It's really popular. By the way, I want to point at the door here. There are a couple of buttons here on the driver's side door of the Tesla Semi. You can open the frunk area, and you can open the side storage compartments. Is it closed now?
It's closed at the moment.
Oh, I think, hold on a second. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, you should be able to open the side storage boxes, and then the side glass opens. This is almost like the smoker window, like this triangular window on the front to get air. I think this is really cool. And then here, the way you open the door from the inside, there is an electric handle right here, or there's a mechanical override, kind of a pull strap to open the door on the side. And of course, there's a fire extinguisher. And I love how big this door opening is. It's really huge and really easy to use. They didn't want us opening the frunk because somebody tried and somebody got yelled at. So I don't want to get yelled at because there's not really storage in there. It's just kind of components
right
on the inside. All right. So now let's try to get in there. Check it out, guys. We're finally inside, sitting pilot seat of the new Tesla semi-truck. It's a central driving position like we were talking about before. And I like this. The seat, there's no air in the seat right now, so I'm kind of sitting on the floor. But normally the seat would be a little bit higher. So you have really commanding view and you got giant mirrors on both sides. I really like this orientation. And of course, you have dual screens. You have a couple of technical details here on the left. You've got on the bottom your air system PSI, so redundant air brake system, and the rest of your air system you can monitor here. Cameras, also for the side mirror. Here, this screen on my right-hand side is basically, each one of these screens is from a Model 3. So basically, they're using some of the components from the other cars. And even, you could click your climate control system, and you can change the direction of the vents.
So we want to talk about family resemblance here. So even in the semi, even when you're in a commercial vehicle, you get a lot of familiarity here.
Heated steering wheel, heated windscreen, heated seats. There's no shortage of, I mean, of course, maps. You have the rest of your, you know, apps and energy and your Spotify. All that stuff is here.
Yeah.
So that's pretty sweet, I think. Your air brake controls are on the right, including your hazard lights. Your wireless charger is up here. So I think they used a lot of the similar components from their other automotive side and actually turned it into a semi-truck here as well. Let me click here. Pedals and steering, slip start, suspension. You could dump air. It's air suspension. High ride height, standard ride height, your trips. And this is a real truck. It's got a little bit of dirt on the outside of it, so it just rolled into the show.
Yeah, they just drove it from Gigafactory Nevada.
Yeah, well, I hope this gives you a kind of a good glimpse into the future of trucking. Thank you, Zach, for really helping out in a big way. And we'll see you next time on the next TFL Talking Trucks podcast. Thank you, guys.
See you, guys.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.